Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, tennis fans from around the globe. The following program is a presentation of the Yellow Ball Network.
Oh, what a shot!
Are we on?
Yep, we're on.
All right, let's go.
Broadcasting live from the Tennis Dynamics Studio in downtown Marietta, Georgia, this is the We Coach Tennis Radio Show on the Yellow Ball Network. Your host for the show this week is J.P. Weber.
Everybody, welcome back to the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. It's been quite a while since we've had the show. Been busy trying to get stuff. January was absolutely full month for us here at the park. Had lots of tournaments, USTA tournaments, and just a whole bunch of different things. This past weekend, Wayne Bryan was in town with the guys making up for an exhibition that didn't happen back in September. He came back and did it. Got a few things to talk about with that. And we've got a pretty good lineup today, hopefully, on the show. Obviously, my usual guests, hopefully Coach Creasy will find a way to call in. And we're just getting in here right now to the studio, so hopefully everything is going to go well. We're going to go ahead real quick and take a commercial break. And when we come back, we'll have a few topics to talk about, a few things to go over. Quite a few, actually, since the last time we've been on the air. So we'll look forward to talking to you guys in a few minutes.
Hi, coaches and players. If you play on a tennis court in the Southeast, you've probably played on a tennis court designed, constructed, lighted, or resurfaced by courtmakers.com. Marshall Dye and the guys at Courtmakers will work on any type of court. From my experience with them, they work in a professional manner, they show up on time like they say they will, and they never leave a mess. Courtmakers can provide for all equipment needs. Call them at 770-795-8400. 770-795-8400. That's courtmakers.com.
Hi, this is Coach Chuck Creasy. All of you know that I take pride in calling it the way it is, and boy, oh boy, is it an exciting time in tennis. The 10 and under stuff, the juniors, the pros, and college. If you want to hear the cutting edge of the real stuff and not just the diluted and watered-down fluff, folks, listen to Coach J.P. Weber on the We Coach Tennis program every Tuesday at noon Eastern Standard Time here on the Yellow Ball Network.
Hey, come play the Marietta Grand Prix. It's a lot of fun. You get to play a lot of tennis, and we have Chick-fil-A sandwiches from Chick-fil-A. And you get to eat a lot. And if you can, you can play doubles with your friends or with your dad or your mom.
Hey, folks, this is J.P. Weber. Take it from the kid. The 2015 Handmade Charlotte Marietta Grand Prix Series of Tournaments is a great way to spend the day with the family playing tennis. To find out more, go to www.tennisdynamics.net. That's tennisdynamics.net, where you can call us at the Laurel Park Tennis Center at 770-919-8602. Okay, we're back here on the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. If you want to call in and listen to the show, you can do that at 646-652-4856. We're going to try to catch up to Coach Creasy. I don't even know how many shows he's done now in a row. We've taken a break now for about a month, and we're going to try and get back in the saddle and get back to doing these shows. It's actually a little bit more difficult. It's enjoyable on the one side. It's absolutely fantastic as a medium. I think it's great for tennis pros. The original reason that we started the We Coach Tennis Radio program was to try and give the opportunities to some of these great coaches that are out there that haven't been able to, to have their voices heard as much, to be able to give them a shot at being heard and be able to have, a little insight into how they coach and what they do. And that's what I want to continue to do this year. I want to make sure we get out there. There are some coaches out there that I want to try and interview. There's a few guys I want to try. Hopefully today we're going to try. I think there's a call out feature, and I'm going to see if we can do it. Hopefully I'll talk to Coach Kreese. He may know how to do it. He's ahead of me now, probably, with all his episodes and shows under his belt about how to call out and call somebody. But we're going to try that today. Maybe we can call the infamous and the wonderful John Lester from the We Coach Tennis site over there on the Facebook page. And hopefully today we're going to talk a little bit with Coach Kreese as well. There's quite a few things in the news. I can't wait to get Coach Kreese on the phone here in just a second. There's quite a few things that are going on and a few things that have happened. And he was in town this weekend. I've got a couple of things I want to talk to him about and see if I can't ask him on the air and see if we can't get some good answers to that. Terrible day here in Atlanta. It's snowing, but we'll still be out there this evening. I look forward to getting out there with the kids. Let me see if I can. Let's see if we can get him on right here. Coach Kreese, are you there? With me?
Yeah. Can you hear me, JP?
Okay. I rushed in. I got off the highway and ran in here, and I had about 1 minute. I think I was even maybe about 30 seconds late getting started. So I don't know if the mics are working or anything. We do these shows. Hannity and all those guys, they have a lot of production guys that make it all work. Your show is a great show. That's on Wednesdays at noon, and there's no production crew for you. You do it all yourself every week. It's a tough thing to do.
Well, we do, and that's part of the great thing about doing it. We're now, I figured that I have done close to, nearly 200 shows. And as you start out, every adventure becomes a job, as we all know. And it's the preparation is, of course, hard. And then thinking of a good topic that will be interesting to your listeners. And then also getting commitments from other people's busy lives. And, the computers and the cell phones and everything that we do now has made everyone's lives so busy. So that's a downside. But the upside really is that you alluded to this just a minute ago, that your We Coach Tennis blog site, your We Coach Tennis Facebook, the program has been a great medium for all the coaches to hit the airway and to learn what's going on out there, but also to be able to express themselves. And we surely need this as a vehicle. So thank you for doing the show, JP, and thank you for your writings. You're just a vehicle. I love some of the stuff that I see on your Facebook, and so do what? You got 3,000 people out there now. How many do you have? I know you got a bunch.
Sure, we had a lot. I want to get him on the show later. I'm going to try to get him on. We've got a guy on there, John Lester. And, I can't tell you how many times I've had threats and how many times I've had people say where they're quitting the show, they're not coming back, or they're quitting.
Oh, that guy, he's the Donald Trump of We Coach Tennis, I think. I mean, he's really, I'm hoping to meet him, because you really, if he says some stuff that's a little bit off color, but the bottom line on the thing is he uses his freedoms to the extent that they're supposed to be used in our country. And isn't it beautiful that we have freedom of the press, freedom of the airways, and freedom of speech to say what we want? And you just have to always, we try to preface it as much as we can, but wow, he's pretty interesting guy for sure.
Well, the thing too is people will post on there, You know, I've got a few rules. I've tried to keep it, and, you know, you and I have talked about this a good bit. We don't have a lot of things right now, I think, with the growth of the USTA and whatnot. I don't think people realize the freedoms as coaches that they've lost. It's a slow erosion. It's and you've said it before, and I believe it wholeheartedly. There's sort of a cultural war or a political war that we also are going through. And, you know, whether we call it a war or not, whether we call it this, that, or the other thing, you know, you're losing out as individual coaches many times with the growth of the USTA. And in part of that, with the growth of the USPTA, you're losing out with the right to speak out. And so, you know, I don't put a whole lot of rules on that We Coach Tennis thing. So, you know, there's some freedom there for people to express this. And obviously, you know, I've said I don't really want any nudity and I don't want any vulgarities, if I can avoid that. Anything that would be gratuitous in that way, I've probably had to stop. But other than that, we haven't done that. So he's skirted the line. He's got a lot of wit to him, Lester does. And he's got a lot of sort of funny things. You know, he's an older pro. I think he was a pro early on. He learned from a guy out in California. I think his last name was Xanthos. And
Xanthos was a legend, absolutely. Yeah. A great teaching legend.
So, you know, you get, one of the funniest things that he ever posted, Lester, recently was that he never taught anyone to play tennis. And I knew what he meant. I knew how he was using it as humor. You know, he was trying to say, look, that's not what we did out here. We ran mixers. They had a good, fun social time, and we served them some beer, and they had a great time. He wasn't, you know, they weren't out there trying. But I think he gets a kick himself out of how seriously some of the tennis coaches take themselves. So hopefully we'll have him on a little bit later. Now, you were here this weekend. You came in this weekend. Your team played. You played Georgia Gwinnett, and then you came over, and you played against
Point University.
Point University, and I got to tell you, there was a couple of things. One, there's one big thing that I really enjoyed, and I wanted to talk a little bit about. Now, these days, if you look at blog posts, if you look at a variety of things, people are constantly asking for, you know, I'm hearing a drone now from parents that at every tournament, every match needs to be officiated, and I watched your match, two teams. Obviously, both teams wanted to win. Obviously, both teams were laying it out on the line, working their best, doing their best. You didn't have an official out there, and there were no problems. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Well, there's been five matches we've already played this year, and we're going to play four or five this weekend where we won't have an official. And, you know, this is – we could talk philosophically a long time about this, but I'll use the comparison of golf. They're beating us to death because, as a sport, it's up to the people's integrity themselves. And this is the way that we did it for years. I'm old enough, and so would John Lester or some of those guys. I can remember my first 10 years coaching. We never had a referee, and we had very few problems because the decisions on the court were left up to the two individuals who are battling each other. And with that, now and then, maybe you would every 10 matches you'd have some jerk somewhere. But you know what? He was labeled or she was labeled a jerk. And people would just say, hey, that person's a jerk. They cheat or they try to take advantage. And now and then, we got to the place where we had to have one person that would come out of the stands to settle a dispute. But never in the first 10 years of coaching. And you never had a problem. So people do not understand this. It's very much like having small town USA that does not have a police force. They might have a constable, but you rely on the own people's integrity, their goodness, their own moral compass, and getting along. And you don't have a problem. But if you put a policeman on every corner where we have a referee on every court, what happens is the kids end up manipulating or trying to manipulate those referees. And we've created a police state, now to where everything is about how well do you work the referee, not did I honor the game, not did I respect my opponent, not did I have a high level of standard of sportsmanship. So I think we're really have gone in the wrong direction, and we have basically pricing ourselves or have priced ourselves out of the tennis market. Before you run a tournament, you have to put down a bunch of money to get these guys in striped shirts who basically, it really is not needed, and it just kills. I'm not going to go into validating or not validating how competent some of the referees are, but what I would like to say is that they're not needed because it takes away from the core values that we are trying to teach all the kids.
Well, that's cool.
I want to say about Point University. Could I follow up? Just Point University, we walked away from that match. I said, guys, we just looked at a situation that we need to aspire to. Every player on that team fought as hard as they could fight. The sports enthusiasm for this game was incredible. Their sportsmanship was impeccable. Everything about them, we walked away saying, wow, guys, that's how I hope we look to other people. And we empowered them by the start. I told their coach, I said, look, if we have any problems, you're the referee. And that's what you do when you empower other people. They many times live up to the standards of ethics that they believe in and goodness. So we really, the shoe bomber syndrome is what we did with referees. It's really bad. Go ahead. Sorry, coach.
I saw one or two times where somebody may have given a call. The other guy looked at him, gave him a look like, you know, don't do that again. And then you moved on. But that's the thing. I think you guys, if I'm not mistaken, you guys played ad. And with ad, you know, you can give that guy a look and he's like, no, he's not going to do it again.
We honored the game with traditional scoring.
It honored the game. And what ended up happening was, too, though, and I want to keep mentioning this, is that, you know, the fact that, you know, the benefit of doubt was there. In other words, the guy looked at him, gave him an eye, and moved on. And that was that.
Yeah,
was
and you know, everybody knows how they have to learn how to handle that when calls are questioned or your calls are questioned or you question someone else's. That's just part of tennis. However, in traditional scoring, there is a lot less tendency for cheating. In no-ad scoring, the cheating is paramount. It's unbelievable what happens. It's disgraceful.
It works. With no-ad scoring, it absolutely works. I've experienced it myself.
Cheating works, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, in no-ad scoring, the benefit of doubt is gone, number one. But then cheating, you know, it's
cheating's paramount.
Well,
if you take that game point.
It's final. You know, you got a ball close to the line, you can call it out. And if it's a three-all point and you call it out, it's done. You know, it's funny. I think I saw where Manny put on Facebook, he was congratulating Wayne Montgomery. And I think in the first game, he was overruled three times. And he was playing against a guy this past weekend, and Eubanks. He was playing Eubanks from Tech. Now, Montgomery went on to win the match, but overruled three times in the first game, and I think that you're going to see more of that. You know, if it's close, it's going to be out. It's not going to be, you know, there's no room for it now. There's no room for the benefit of doubt, in my mind at least. So another thing, go ahead.
That one point is worth two games. That's what most people don't understand. It's not game point. It's worth two games. Everybody recognizes it straight up at 4-2. It's either 5-2 or 4-3. Wow, that's a two-game swing. Well, no, the first game of the match is a two-game swing. If you go up 1-0 on me and you took a line call, it's going to take me winning two games to get up one game on you that I should have been up if you hadn't taken that line call. So the cheating is just, it's sort of like, I don't know what the example would be. It's like, it's just a big advantage to cheat. So our game has been trifled with these doggone bureaucratical associations, the ITA and the USTA, they're screwing with the game. And the game's been the same for 142 years, and we should not be messing with it. It's brilliant, and we're going to just dumb it down. And like many things that are dumbed down, they're not going to know where to go once it is dumbed down. And it's just really just horrible that our administrators have been so short-sighted.
Well, it reminds me of a quote somebody sent me earlier today. Maybe we'll bring that up later a little bit. We'll talk a little bit maybe more about that match this weekend, and then you went on to play. I think you played up in Belmont. Where is it? Where'd you play after?
Up Brevard. We went up to Brevard, which is a first-class program run by a very good coach up there as well, and they're building an excellent program. But we drove up. We're able to play a second match. We played 3 in 2 days. This week we're playing 4 or 5. We're hoping for 5 in 2 days. Go ahead.
Let me, golly, how hard is it for you? I mean, at one time, I sort of, in the back of my mind, kind of sometimes expected, here you were playing Point University. I figured maybe on some level, those guys, they would come out and here's the great Coach Creasy coaching the Citadel team. They may have just laid down for you. They didn't lay down for you. You go out, you got to play Point University. You're going up to, was it Belmont Abbey? Or what'd you put? Who was the name of the team you put? Brevard.
Brevard.
These are teams. I really enjoy talking to you. And I tell you, you've moved from Clemson to the Citadel with such grace and dignity. You treat both people at every level. You know, you at one time were, out there on the court competing with a guy like Dick Gould or Simmons, and now you're competing with schools that nobody knows the name of or where they are or where they're from. How hard is it for you to do that?
Well, at this stage in life, it absolutely is not hard at all, and I'm very honest in saying that. The whole perspective on life, perspective on life changes as you get older. I mean, my mother had and I quote her often, but she used to say the wise man walks with the great and the small in equal dignity. And the things that we get through life, whether it's fame or fortune, all become fluff. And, as I'm getting older, I realize the things that you cannot are the most valuable are the things that you would never sell. And that's your relationships with, definitely with God, with your family, and it's really become laughable how we have drive-by fame and such fluff fame. We get it. People try to get it through their Facebook, internet, and hey, look at me, I've done this, and we try to present rhinestones as diamonds. The real diamonds are only recognized by people who recognize diamonds. There's a great analogy in South Africa where children, absolutely, they play marbles a lot of times with diamonds because they think they are rocks and they don't recognize them for being such value. And likewise, we have kids walking around with all kinds of jewelry now that are rhinestones, and they act like it's something of value. Well, people do not understand the difference between a diamond and a rhinestone. I pray and I hope, and I'm trying very, very hard to recognize the diamonds that are out there. The real diamonds, not the rhinestones, are seeing the way that the coach from Point University coached, seeing the way that the kids from Brevard handled themselves and the coach. I got to talk to a man, a very wise man at Brevard who was watching the match, and he's got an illness that he's facing right now. And I got to talk to him for 40 minutes. It was very, very valuable to me in my life to talk to somebody who was so wise. So you seek out more of those things as you're getting older, I think, JP. So, the fame is all stupid. Look at in Ecclesiastes in the Bible, it talks about this. Everything is of nothing. you know, and fame is so fleeting and all that. But we all want these great, great things, but in the end, it all becomes dust. So, I mean, we've got to leave good things with our family. We got to have a strong relationship with God and hopefully build good friendships. But just we need to seek value, not things of just price and of glitter.
Well, you know, I just admire seeing you do that, and you do it with a lot of dignity. So I enjoyed watching it. You're right. It actually was very enjoyable to watch the Point University team. They competed hard. They fought hard. They brought a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm to the match. So it was a great. We had people from the community that came out, enjoyed watching it. Be honest with you, I doubt very seriously they would have enjoyed watching it as an exhibition. You and I went to an exhibition the night before you guys played. You came in Friday night, and we went to an exhibition, and we watched an exhibition. The Bryan brothers were there playing. You had the Bryan brothers. You had John Isner. You had Query. You had Wayne, the dad. Let me start with the dad. Now, you talk about gems. You talk about great guys. Wayne Bryan, to me, is fantastic. They finished their match, or they did everything they were obligated to do for this exhibition back in September. And they didn't get it finished because it was raining outside. The only venue they had to play was outside. So they came back just a few days ago and did an exhibition. But he ended up redoing everything just about. He had a question and answer with the GPTA. He did a lot of other stuff along with that. The guy, to me, is just a class act. There are a few key things he does. I don't know where he gets the time. I can't do it. Maybe you can't do it as much. He never misses an opportunity to say thank you. He writes private letters. He writes private emails. He does stuff. But he's always on top of it in that respect. But thank yous, I would say the number one thing that I take away from him, at least seeing, is how good he is at saying thank you. Have you noticed that as well in him?
Yeah, you know, I was sitting here thinking about the best way I could describe it in a short way. But he makes diamonds really stand out as diamonds, and he makes rhinestones become diamonds. In other words, he's great. You know, he promotes so well. We all wish that we could promote something like Wayne Bryan. But here's the thing that he does very, very well. He was very observant about a couple little kids in the crowd, bringing them out. And he didn't just do it for show, but I really believe he just did it for those kids. He was the kindness for him to come back and put on that program after he got rained out in the fall. And then all of the effort and the bottom line on the thing is he made it worthwhile for everybody there, everybody who participated. And what I think he's a genius, God-given genius in the way that he sees the future and what it can be. But he absolutely, those Bryan brothers are diamonds. They are not Ryan. They are diamonds. They are worth quality. They should be honored as such. I'm hoping that they will go down in history as two of the finest sportsmen in the history of sport for the United States. If you look at their foundation, they give money away to causes all over the world. They do things that are just good.
It's not the fact that they give money away. Look, they do things.
Give time away, too.
Of money. It's the things that they do. You know, do you think, let me ask you this. Wayne often is criticized. Look, he's only where he is and what he is because he's riding on the coattails of his boys. I think
jealousy is the tribute that mediocrity pays to greatness. And I think that anybody would criticize what he does, his excellence. It's jealousy, professional jealousy, or it's just not understanding. And look, even if you don't understand the way he goes about things, you cannot take for granted or anything his enthusiasm, his sincerity, his love of the game, his love for his family and his love for his sons. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's what comes through. The other stuff, you know, the fluff stuff, you know, it looks like he understands. You know, he's smart. He's marketing things. He's doing what he can do for his sons. But daggone it, you know, I'm that's what tennis really needs. They need about 10 Wayne Bryans out there that are doing this. And I don't know. I think people are just, people are just funny in our sport. You know, they always, they try to make their own light shine brighter by trying to put other people out. And anybody would criticize him. Look, it's fantastic what he does.
I agree. Coach, let me take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about a couple other things with you. There was a couple of other things I want to try and see if we can talk to
sure.
Coach Lester, and we'll get right back on.
Great to be on. Great to be on.
Hi, this is Coach Chuck Creasy. I take great pride in calling it the way it is. It's a meat and potato principle of coaching that no one really cares what you know unless they know that you care. As a parent also, I want this and very skilled hands working with my youngster. Coach J.P. Weber's 30 years of experience speaks for itself. Go see him at Laurel Park in Marietta, Georgia. His website is tennisdynamics.net. tennisdynamics.net.
I can't think of a better place to go than courtmakers.com for any of my court equipment needs. Any kind of equipment that you need for your club or facility, windscreens, nets, net straps, benches, scoreboards, you can find all of this at courtmakers.com. Or like them on Facebook and see all the latest stuff that they're doing in court construction, resurfacing, and lighting. That's courtmakers.com, courtmakers.com.
Okay, we're back on the We Coach Tennis Radio Show here on the Yellow Ball Network. If you want to call in, the number is 646-652-4856. Right now I'm on the phone with Coach Creasy, and we've been talking about – Coach, we watched the boys play doubles. We watched some singles with Query and Isner. Is the future, I wanted to ask, in your mind, and I've got a guest caller on, I'm trying to bring a guest caller on here, I don't know that number yet, but we'll see if we can get it. The future, is it going to be the Isners and the Queries, 6'8", and all those, is that where it's headed, in your mind?
No, I don't think so. I think power thrills, but speed kills is always going to be tennis. I think, you know, what do you want me to ask me? The perfect athlete in tennis? That's what's always been so beautiful about it. There's everybody's looking for somebody 6'2" that can move, but big and powerful too. But I love it because there's no rhyme or reason sometimes why people get great. Look at the Nadal. I mean, he doesn't look like he's 6'8" or whatever. And I'm hoping that we don't sort of stereotype anything about tennis. That's what makes it interesting to see who the next person comes up and why.
Let me ask you, now there was something that I had that I went through with you, and I was talking to you, and at the time it probably wasn't the best. Working for you and working for Bayless, there's two coaches there that probably approached it more different than you two. He looked at strategy all the time. He looked at, you know, he would study things. He would call people. He would find out if he was going to play against you, Coach Creasy, he'd know, you know, which way you held your head when you coughed and whatnot. You, on the other hand, didn't look at any of that. And you looked more at you were more looking at fixing your player and getting your player right. And do you look at things any differently if you had somebody that couldn't hit a backhand at all? Would you hit to the backhand even though it might go against maybe a directional?
No, I mean, for sure you would. And you'll let me say that there is a place for the strategy, absolutely. And, you know, Bobby is a very, very good coach and very accomplished. But the point is, I always looked at it like I number one, we got to get our players better. Even on this five-part priority sheet I have in my office, and I always give my assistant coaches, number one, get players better. Number two, get better players. Number three, make sure they have challenging itineraries and things that will help their lives, you know, with scheduling and all those things. Number four, take care of the bosses with everything they need. Number five is everything else from the ITA to the fluff stuff to the promotions to whatever. It's just, look, you got to get your players better. And you cannot recruit a championship team. You have to develop a championship team. And some people might recruit a championship team for a short period, but not at the highest levels. You've got to develop those guys. So it's just that perspective is why I try to look long-term more than anything. Like, this guy's a freshman. He's got to be able to face players like this, and let's see if he can do this and make sure that he develops this really well and keeps developing as a player.
You know, when we were out there, I brought up something that probably, I think, I had a tendency with you to bring things up that irritated you. I brought up one thing, but it's a question that's on my mind. You know, when I look at tennis today, and I saw something I thought I'd never ever see. About 2 years ago, I went to a Georgia match, and it was men's doubles, and I was watching men's doubles, and I saw Georgia play, and maybe you've seen it before, but I saw Georgia play with both the server and the server's partner back at the baseline, and it just sort of shocked me. Are we going to ever, in my mind, I tend to believe that I think that you could take two inferior singles players and they would beat that team every time if they were a great doubles team. Am I wrong in thinking that? Are we at a point where now you can actually probably play it like that because of the speed, the strings, the balls, and everything else, and the athletes that are playing? Has it gotten to a point where one up, one back is going to be the future of doubles and two?
Well, listen, again, I'm glad you brought this up because some of the freshmen I bring in, their volleys are very suspect. They don't know how to volley. And they say, Coach, I don't know how to volley. I said, well, you learn. You'll be good by next year this time. And I make them in doubles serve and volley, first and second serves. And no, the best players serve and volley. Let me say this, up till the 85th percentile, you might be able to serve and stay back and, you know, grind. But the top, from 85th to 100th percentile, you've got to be able to serve and volley in doubles. And the net is where you win in doubles. And the point being is that, listen, your job is to get to that 85th percentile and above. And you're going to take some losses before then, but from the minute kids come into my program, I make them learn how to serve and volley in doubles. I do half-court serve and volley, one-on-one doubles, like Coach Ed Kras calls it, and I make them come to the net no matter what. And so anyhow, you know, I could be wrong. Some people might argue about that, but, you know, that's the way doubles need to be played in. College tennis still is an educational endeavor. It goes much deeper than just, hey, we're going to try to win this match today.
Let me try. I'll tell you what I want to do real quick. I've got a couple of callers. I want to try and get a caller on. But before I do that, I'm going to try. Let's try. Bingity, bangity, boom. Here we go. Let's see what we got here. Let's see how this works. We're going to hit. We're going to call and see if we can't get on. You know, I announced that I was going to try maybe and call John Lester, and I got about 10 hate mail things just recently over this. I'm going to try and call this guy. He's on the thing. It's John Lester. Coach Chris, you've seen some of the stuff, and I've seen some of the stuff. It was written out. We'll try and call him and see if we can get some callers. He may or may not answer. He's out in California. Might not be awake. Getting. Which being the bingy bong. Hello.
Hello.
Is this John Chester?
Yes.
John, this is J.P. Weber. I'm calling you on the We Coach Tennis Radio Show here on the Yellow Ball Network. I hope I didn't catch you too early here. It's California time, and just thought I'd give you a call. I've enjoyed, we talked about you earlier on the show and the fact that I enjoyed having you. I actually enjoy having you on the We Coach Tennis website. For me, it's been a breath of fresh air. Tennis coaches take themselves quite seriously, and I just wanted to get you on the radio show at one time. I've got Coach Creasy on here as well. He actually enjoys sometimes seeing some of the stuff you write.
Well, I like hearing that.
You live in California. You actually one of the funniest posts that you ever put on there was that you said you never coached tennis, but you actually did coach tennis, correct? You're a tennis coach. And
yeah, I let's put it this way. I did my best.
You know, one of the other posts that you had, and I'd love to have this. I'd love every week, you know, it'd be great if I could take, you know, on the show, it wouldn't bother me in the least to have 5 minutes with you every week. Maybe, you know, Jesting with Lester or Lester the Jester, some kind of segment on the show where we called you and maybe got your perspective on things. You know, you put up a post just recently on there, and you had a picture of kids. And on the post, you said something along the lines of how do you teach retards? And you were pilloried. By virtue of the fact that I didn't throw you off the site, now I'm a scumbag. They call me a scumbag. They think that if I have anything to do with you or associate with you, that I'm terrible. I got the humor in that. I think the other day I called my son. I said, "You're acting retarded. You're a retard." I didn't look at it as a bad thing, and I thought it was funny. And they weren't retarded kids. You didn't actually have a picture of retarded children. You just took a picture of clip art with kids and just said, "How do you coach retards?" You weren't really making fun of children and retarded people. But people sometimes don't get your humor, do they?
Well, no, I wasn't trying to make fun of anybody. I was just, I don't know what I was thinking, to be honest with you. It's just sometimes in Southern California, we have, tennis is a very competitive place, 12-month season. We got, a lot of movie stars, people playing tennis, and I don't know what it's like in your neck of the woods, but tennis is very competitive here in Southern California. And you get all kinds of perspectives here that you might not get where you're at.
You know, you're right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Does that make any sense?
Oh, it makes a lot of sense. I like getting the different sort of, you know, I set that site up where I didn't want it to be. If you've ever been, every time somebody gets on me about the tone or the tenor of the site, and because it's not a serious site, and because we're not, you know, the respectability people are overall, you know, there's other sites, and the, you know, if you ever go to a USPTA conference, there's a clip that it always reminds me of from. There's a movie, I think it was called Spies Like Us. Chevy Chase, and I can't remember if it was Dan Aykroyd or Chevy Chase, and they turn to one another. They're meeting in a tent, and they turn to each other and say, "Doctor, doctor, doctor, doctor," and they're congratulating each other on their degrees and this and that and everything else. You know,
I saw that. That was funny.
I tend to think that's a little bit the way tennis coaches are. You know, I've got this. I'm a master pro here. I'm a master pro there, and they get on, and the stuff that they talk about ad nauseum sometimes is for me very frustrating. I like getting a little bit of stuff. I've had two rules. I didn't want a whole lot of vulgarity, and I didn't want anything that was nudity. And I think you've got a lot of wit. I don't think, to me, it does, I don't know, for me, maybe I, you know, it takes a lot to offend me. I don't know, I guess, but it doesn't seem to offend me as much, your posts. I think they're funny.
Well, thank you, because I think I'm funny. In my heart, I think I'm funny. Here in Southern California, we have a large, what's called a entertainment industry, okay? And they used to be, well, they used to be funny. I mean, you could say stuff and do stuff, and the political correct crowd eventually took over, and now you can't say anything without getting in trouble, basically. So it's very easy. All you got to do is say something like, how do you teach a fat guy how to play tennis? And you're going to get a lot of blowback from fat guys.
Oh, gosh, you're going to get, and not even the fat guys, you'll get blowback. You know, it's funny. I can't believe sometimes the responses to your post, you'll say something like that. I think from what I understand, George Wendt, the guy that was on Cheers, I guess coached him at one point, he came in. He didn't even want to play tennis. You made a joke about it. He came in and just wanted to drink a beer. Is that right?
Yeah, I was in Malibu for 3 years, so I met everybody. You name it. The richest people in the world, and there was actually the poorest people in the world. And then there was that George guy was one of them. God, that guy's amazing. You know how big he is? Excuse me. He's a very large guy. So I think I mentioned that he had to duck and turn sideways just to get get through the door.
Yeah.
At the clubhouse. And, and every day was a different movie star or TV personality at the club. So it was a common sight to see somebody of his fame hanging around. So the people, the members there really didn't, care one way or the other. So I just went behind the bar and I said, "Hey, Norm, you want a beer?" I just always wanted to say that. So I gave him a beer. But no, he did not play tennis.
When you said in one of your posts, you said, "I've never taught anyone how to play tennis." I sort of got the humor in what you were saying there. That's not what a lot of the work out there consisted of.
Well, actually, I believe that you really don't teach anybody how to play tennis, because the pros, the ego situation here, once again, SoCal, is everybody goes around saying, like you say, "Well, I got this credential. I taught this guy how to play tennis, and I taught that guy how to play tennis." And the truth of the matter is, they never taught anybody how to play tennis, but they got a name drop. See, the idea is that you name drop. Myself, I've never really taught anybody how. I just kind of hit the ball over the net and kind of hope they get it back. And then at the end of the lesson, I usually get paid for all of that.
One of the other topics that you bring up quite a bit when you sort of lament the fact that tennis pros in general just don't get paid. They don't know how to market. Is it that they don't know how to market? What is it? They don't know how to market themselves, or they don't know how? You lament the fact that tennis pros seem to be so unhappy all the time because they're underpaid and overworked, right?
Yep, that's about the size of it. What it looks like is the tennis pros, once again, go back to SoCal. Everybody down here is either extremely rich or very poor. So you're working with people that are very rich, usually. And that's the way it was with me over the decades. So it's very easy, I think, for some pros maybe to be a little jealous or envious of the affluent, because they're going to homes and private courts and private clubs with people that are worth, gazillions of dollars. I mean, they're all over the place. Hey, I can name drop for I could name drop for 2 hours around here, but I won't.
And you, one other thing that I in talking to you before, Where did you play? You played college tennis, and you played for a coach that was a great. He wrote a great book, Paul Xanthos, I think was his name. Is that right?
Yeah, he was a miserable little fellow. He was a short Greek, and he was kind of as tennis coaches go, high school, college. He was okay. He's just a real grumpy guy. That's all. But I'll give him one. I'll say one thing for him in the preceding years, because it was Pierce Junior College, okay, which is not Harvard, and it was a great school. And all the guys that played for Xanthos in the 2 years before me and the 3-5 years after me all became coaches. Every last one of them.
Wow.
And a couple of them played pro. Tour, like Gene Mallon, you probably heard of him.
Yeah, Gene Mallon, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and Van Patten.
Yep.
Okay, and then there was a whole bunch of others. A Hochstetter is a name that comes to mind. Everybody, yeah, a lot of players, for example, went on to become pro coaches and players. And Pierce College was right there in the middle of SoCal. So we had 12 courts, and it was great. And I'll say one thing for Paul Xanthos. I think that even in those days when tennis was on the weak side budget-wise, I think Paul Xanthos kind of dug into his own pocket to put gas in his car to take us to matches. And he bought us dinner at Sizzler's. And I think he bought some of the tennis balls and stuff like that. So I'll give Xanthos credit for keeping that ball in play.
Yeah. Coach Greasy, are you still on the line there?
Pardon me? I am.
Have you been listening?
And I'd like to say hi to John. John, thank you very, very much for the way you approach things. JP, you absolutely need a 5-minute segment with him called Jesting with Lester. Or something. Matter of fact, he probably could run a great show. I think it'd be the best. But hey, listen, John. The thing I want to do, I want to pay tribute to your use of your and our American freedoms. I take my hat off to you. I've heard someone refer to you as the Donald Trump of tennis. You say it the way it is. And listen, one thing you just said is right on the market. Years ago, people never used vulgarity, even our comedians, but they would use ethnic slurs all the time, and it was funny as heck. I mean, it was hilarious. Now there's vulgarity and deviance all over the airways, but we're not allowed to say anything all about even call somebody fat or anything. It's terrible. And listen, I'm probably about the same age as you are, or pretty up there. But listen, regardless of what anybody out there thinks, I tribute your use of your American freedoms, and we should never, ever, ever give them away. Our freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of we don't need the thought police coming after us and telling us how to dumb down anything that we do. So thank you very much, John. It's a pleasure.
Well, you're welcome, and I just want to add one thing. I never said anything derogatory about the Irish.
Back on every week, Mr. Lester. Hey, let me let you. I'm gonna get one more caller here. Hang on. Let's see what we got here. Hang on, guys. Let's see what we got. The caller at 574. Are you there?
Yes, I am. JP, it's Bobby Bayless.
Speak of the Irish. We got the head coach, the former head coach of the University of Notre Dame Irish, and Lester. Mr. Coach Lester, you ended up tying it all together here. We're on here with the Week Coach Tennis Show. Coach Bayless, how you doing? Have you heard everything we've been doing?
I came on about 20 minutes ago. I really wanted to commend Chuck for his comments about doubles, because the geometry of the court is still the same, and 2 divided into 36 equals 18, and if you can't cover 18 feet of width of court, there's something wrong with you. So I think a lot of guys will use the stay back stuff, because the guys they're working with can't volley, and they take a short-term road to success, which leads to long-term failure by not forcing them to get their fannies up to the net.
Are you the coach of Notre Dame?
Yes, I am. Well, I retired. I just retired 2.5 years ago.
Well, I'm a fan of the football team, if that counts for anything.
Well, so am I.
I saw that last game where Notre Dame missed a field goal and lost the game. Where was Jesus on that one?
I don't know. Maybe he has a different plan. I'm not sure.
Oh, gosh. I tell you, if I have you on the show, I think, you know, the respectability people are going to, you know, I don't know if I'll have anybody else on. You know, every time, John, you post something on the Facebook, the We Coach Tennis thing, every time you post something, I lose about 50 members, but then I gain another 100. So, you know,
really?
People appreciate you, John.
That just goes to show you something. I don't know what, but it shows you something. Maybe I think one of your buddies said that if tennis coaches didn't have a sense of humor, their clients would drive them crazy. Did somebody say that?
Oh, yeah, and I think some of the best coaches, Coach Bales, you got a good – Coach Creasy has a great – you guys have all – the best coaches many times you can blunt their message with that humor. The humor helps to a lot of times blunt a message, and it's a much easier way. Coach Bayless, you've been good at that through the years. Coach Creasy, there have been many times where something you've said, I've been, you know, my sides hurt so much from laughing.
JP, I think sarcasm in the right way can get you a long way. Like if I'm coaching you and you miss a backhand, I might look at you and say, you know, in 44 years of college coaching, that's the worst backhand I've ever seen. And when the guy on the next court misses one, I'll turn around and say, sorry, JP.
Yeah, you really got to watch what you say. You can get people all ticked off.
It was great having you guys on. I appreciate it. We're going to have to cut it short here today. I appreciate all you guys coming on, and hopefully we'll get back with this again next week. I'd love to have any time, Coach Lester, Coach Bayless, I'd love to have any of you guys. Coach Creasy's on the competitive network over there. He's on the other network. I'd love to create my own network of shows here. I haven't really pushed it as much, but we've certainly got the space. I'd love to have you guys on. But that's going to have to do it for us this week. This has been the We Coach Tennis Radio Show, and we'll catch you guys this time again next week.
This has been the We Coach Tennis Radio Show on the Yellow Ball Network. Check in here with us every Tuesday at noon and listen to another great coach talk about what makes their program a success.